of chapter 5, of verse 5. And that'll be found on Pew Bible page 1445. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure from now, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. Our second scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 55. And that'll be on Pew Bible page 1588. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This is the good news. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for the joy we are entering into, for the joy of your son's birth, the joy of Christmas. As Advent bids farewell, we ask that you'll guide us and lead us and keep us, O Lord, as we prepare and make ready for the joyful celebration of your son's birth. Help us, O Lord, to focus not on the presence, but on the present. Help us to focus on what you gave to us and how we can celebrate and live into your son's call in our lives. May this word today guide us and lead us. May you illuminate it through your blessed name. And may we forever seek to serve our Lord. Amen. Today we celebrate being 6 days away from Christmas. Just 6 more days until we can ring in the celebration which greets the birth of Christ. 5 more days before we gather together to share songs and the story and pass the light of Christ among us. Take a deep breath. Take it all in. It's so close. As we look at the Advent wreath, we see 4 candles all lit on the exterior, meaning that next we will light the Christ candle, the candle that shows us the light of Christ in our lives. We have lit the candles of hope, love, joy, prophecy, Bethlehem, and shepherds. And today we light the candle of peace, or the angels. The connection between the 2 candle names being the angels appearing to the shepherds and declaring to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people, peace to you." And then the song of the angels as they rejoice, singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace among those whom He favors." But peace can tend to be an ever-changing and evolving thing in our lives. When I was younger, peace generally meant one thing. Peace was an end to conflict and war. Then there was the realization as I grew older that peace can also mean peace and quiet, something that didn't really exist in our house with 4 kids. Then there was the realization that peace is also something within oneself, within one's surroundings. Peace has seemed to be fleshed out as I've gotten older. And the more and more I think I understand it, the less and less I truly realize I have understood it. As it grows and grows, it's an achievement that we seek after and attempt to understand and have in our lives, but so often it is so fleeting and so moving. I remember the peace of college and seminary when all your papers were done and that final last exam as you walked out of the room. The wave of peace. Now, Sarah always got to experience that wave of peace a little sooner than I did, being always the first one done with the exam. But suddenly you felt this calm. It was a peace within you that there was nothing more to do. There was nothing more you could do. It was done. You were ready. And then, seemingly, so quickly, all of a sudden, the stressors and stresses of school eliminated and went away. And yes, 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 they were soon filled with the stressors and stresses of friends and family getting together, going back home, all of that. But for a moment, peace seemed to be there. Peace existed. Peace seems to be something that we are ever and always chasing and living towards in our lives. We move from points of peace and chaos as we move throughout our lives. One day's chaos might bring the next day's peace. Peace is something we long for and desire. In our scripture today, we see a model of peace, a model for us of what peace can look like. It's not a model which has peace without chaos, but a model of peace within chaos. There are times in our lives when, in spite of the tumult and challenges, there is peace, isn't there? It's not peace and quiet. Often it's far from it. It's not peace without war, but an assured and comforted peace. One which exists in the daily life of a person, where they can greet hardship and whatever challenge happens, where they can greet excitement or joy with the same calm and peace of spirit. The reality of some such peace came to me when I was talking with a professor in seminary who was also a good friend of my mother's. As we sat chatting during coffee hour at seminary, he had just visited with my mother after her diagnosis of brainstem lymphoma. And this terminal diagnosis had us both talking about how Mom was handling it. We talked about her decision to stop chemo and simply accept the fate that existed. Tom, Dr. Bogart, marveled at how Mom wasn't fighting and clawing tooth and nail, but peacefully understood that a terminal diagnosis was what she had. And her days became more of making the most of them. They became more and more of waiting steadily and patiently to see God. It's a peace that myself and my siblings marvel at when we talk, one which we hope someday to reach. But it's a peace that we seldom see in our world. Doesn't mean that her road was going to be easy. As she steadily lost the ability to walk, even the fine motor functions of her fingers left, and the cancer swelled to her brain and steadily choked the life out of her. But the peace she felt never left her. But such peace doesn't reside when we find peace in the reality of the end of our lives. It exists within us throughout our lives. I recall a family I know who had a daughter diagnosed at 3 with a heart murmur. And it meant lots of exams, lots of checks with doctors, the extended family constantly asking questions of what life would be like, what life will be like for them. Even the father was a bit frazzled as he wondered out loud about the limitations and stresses and strains his daughter would be faced with. But then, suddenly, her older sister, all of 6 years old, looks at Dad and says, "She's perfect. God loves her. No matter what happens, that's not going to change, Dad." Peace. Peace. No matter what, God loves her. No matter what happens, that's not going to change. Peace. Peace of this sort can be defined as a calm within the midst of a storm. It can be an ability to face everything, knowing that Christ is with you and will not abandon you. It's a peace which doesn't stop the storm from raging around you. It doesn't suddenly make the path easy for you. But it allows you to go on the path with calm and peace within you. When I think of peace and Scripture, I think of really two seminal moments which describe and model peace for us. There's the first moment that always comes to mind, that moment when Christ in the garden is betrayed and arrested. Christ exudes a calmness, a peace of what will be, when he looks at Judas and says, "Do what you will." When he calmly quietly walks away with his arresters and faces the charges against him. He doesn't cry out for his disciples to set him free, tell them to strike down the traitor. No, there's a peace and calm of heart and being that is Christ there as he walks towards the cross. The next moment is this moment with Mary. As we focus our attention in this time of year, this is the moment of peace, I really think, where this young woman is chosen by God, meets with an angel, and instead of trying to convince the angel, as Moses did, that somehow God had gotten it wrong, or any number of prophets as they try and talk God out of it, Mary calmly looks at the angel and says, "Here I am, servant of the Lord." But then she goes to her cousin and visits with her cousin who is also pregnant, also experienced a moment of great joy and also trepidation. And they meet together. And there's this peace that is in this moment as these two women, one carrying John the Baptizer, one carrying the Son of God, meet together. And there's this moment of peace as God's plan happens, as it starts to boil. Now, our normalization of Mary happens with this. Mary becomes a normal story for us. Mary is made normal by us. But Mary is anything but normal. Think about it. This is not a woman facing her 10th pregnancy. This is a young woman who is in her first pregnancy, with all the fears, worries, cares, and concerns that exist with that. Not only that, but she is also an unwed mother. In this day and age, that still carries several trials and concerns in our 21st century world. And if it's hard now, it must have been excruciating back then. The societal pressures, the cultural challenges that possibly face Mary. We see in Matthew how an angel comes to Joseph and tells him to marry her and not send her away quietly in shame. All of these pressures are in this moment. All of this fear and worry and trial, all culminating on this poor young woman. All of this. And that's not even the pressure that she's, carrying the Son of God. You know, that's not exactly a low point of pressure either. All of that pressure on this young woman. And yet her response is not, you know, can we maybe wait a few years, God? I'm not really quite ready. Can we wait till after the wedding, you know, kind of take that off the plate? No, her response is, "Here I am, servant of the Lord." She knows what ridicule and problems will come her way through this. She knows the challenges she faces. And yet, what is her response? Her response is one of peace. "Here I am, servant of the Lord." Her peace does not tell a story without conflict, without challenges, without pain, but of peace, comfort, calm in the midst of those. Her faith allows her to meet this challenge, to meet it with a song of joy as her Magnificat is often called. This is the mother of Christ, who is told of great things and responds so calmly. Brothers and sisters, peace is not an easy thing. To think that it was easy for Mary to say, "Here I am, servant of the Lord," ignores everything going on, ignores the fears, worries, and everything else going on in her life. We need to pause and understand that this young woman still faces so much. Not only has she suddenly discovered she's going to carry a baby, but everything else seems to pile on. And yet, Mary presents us with a challenge. She gives us a mirror of our faith, a mirror of strength and peace that we should strive to live into, that we should endeavor to try and mirror in our own lives. She is able to find a place of peace, that zone, if you will, where she is at peace with her circumstances and her faith, able to face all of them. All of them. It's a learning and living moment for all of us as we seek to serve God, as we seek to live out being Christians in the challenging world. We too will be challenged in some form or fashion to also bear the Son of God, not in our wombs, but we will bear Him to a world. A world which not always will be welcoming to Him, which will not always be welcoming to His message. And yet we are called to bear Him to that world. We too are called to face challenges and strains in our lives. After all, these aren't exactly something we're joyfully putting on today, are we? The fact is, peace comes, and it's there. I think of my grandmother, always around Christmas, sitting in her chair, hands up, hand on her face, just watching. Quietly watching, calmly watching, as four kids run around like crazy. As dogs run around like crazy. And there's Grandma just sitting there. Grandpa, both grandfathers over in the corner complaining about the ball game. And there's Grandma. A model of peace and quiet in her heart. That's the peace that we should have. The challenge is, how do we make that peace ours? How do we make ourselves find that place of peace within us? Where even though there's the stresses and the strains and the challenges and the chaos all around us, we can have that peace within. May we find that peace. May we find from our faith that place of comfort, especially in this season. Amen. Brothers and sisters, at this time, let me invite you to share any joys or concerns with your brothers and sisters.